Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Summertime is the time of the year that we cigar smokers love. Now, whether it's kicking back on the patio after a long day at work or listening to the sound of gentle waves rolling on the beach, savoring a hand-rolled cigar, it's one of the most relaxing things there is. Now, the guys at Famous Smoke have a money-saving deal going on that you've got to hear. Famous is going to knock 20% off your order when you spend just $99 or more. Just go to famoussmoke.com/podcast and you enter the discount code Podcast 20. That's podcast 20, and we'll take 20% off our already low prices, which can add up to a huge savings on your order. Some restrictions do apply. Famous carries the best brands, and we'll guarantee they'll arrive at your door fresh. Go to famoussmoke.com/podcast, pop in the code podcast 20, and you'll save 20% on your cigars. That's at famoussmoke.com/podcast. famoussmoke.com/podcast.
From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Rosanna Arquette, with Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and Ace, Gina, and Bald judge a staff fashion show. And now, not quite a year since she went away. Now she's gone, and I have to say, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, that song is about Rosanna Arquette. David, keyboard player from Toto. Good day. Thank you. Get it on. You got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Please find someone you love and share the show. We love that about you. Right, Gina Grad?
We sure do.
And Bald Brian?
He's skinny. He's not fat. He's not super buff. He's not, like, ripped. No offense.
Thanks, honey. That's a ringing endorsement.
It's this guy. I have no plans on talking about this, but now I'm going to talk about this. There are... Oh, you're wearing... Did you get some eye drops or something put in?
No, it's my Peter Millar shades.
Oh. Is it a medical condition, Brian?
Sorry, I'm looking at Brian. He's got shades on.
Is too cool.
Let's try to figure this out. Let's figure this out. Women.
Yeah.
All men I know are attracted to an aesthetic. They want a woman to look a certain way, and that's what they're attracted to. Now, they make compromises. A lot of guys I know are a lot more flexible than others. I mean, a lot. Some guys don't have a flexibility in the aesthetic department. And I think people think that's an attitude. Like, oh, that guy's a snob or whatever. No, it's really not. It's like, I like a physically attractive woman. I have an idea of what that is for me. And I don't really deviate that much. And if it just sort of means going home and beating off using your own tears as lube, then so be it. Yeah. And I had spent, I'd like to think the lion's share of my life doing that. Like, I was poor, I was single, I had roommates, I drove a pickup truck. I wanted to be with an attractive woman. And there was always, you know, the problem with being poor and driving a beater pickup truck and having an apartment with some roommates or renting a house and La Crescenta with a bunch of roommates and all that kind of stuff is it's tough drawing the hotties. Now, my thing would be I would rather draw a hottie or two a year than have any kind of consistent loving with fives and sixes that I wasn't attracted to.
That's surprising because given the way you grew up with your compromised self-esteem, you'd think that two tits and a pulse would be just fine with you.
I like that song.
Her Beck song.
Beck, yeah.
So this is interesting.
No, yeah. My almost no port in a storm, I think, would be the adage with this. Here's what I knew. I knew I was poor. I knew I didn't have the clothes. I didn't have a sports car.
I didn't have a bathrobe.
I had a bathrobe. I just had no tie.
No sash
for it. I didn't have a lot going for me. And like what in the, you know, the part where, you know, this is the 80s and the 90s. Like, oh, she's into him because he's got a Ferrari and some booger sugar. You know, this was very Miami Vice. I would have probably done much better now pouting.
Yeah, brooding.
And wearing flip-flops, right? But back then, you could tell if someone had money or didn't have money because they'd go, that guy drives a Mercedes Benz. Like, if you pulled up in a Mercedes Benz, like, ooh, yeah. I'm going to get something. His car.
Yeah.
I was driving a Datsun pickup truck. So, I am curious. I'm curious. Let's see if we can figure this out. And then I have a version of it for the ladies as well. First off, I want to thank Castrol. Take the Castrol Challenge. Tweet us your questions at Adam Carolla Show. Hashtag Castrol Challenge. Peter Millar, I'm wearing them right now. That's why I'm looking very dapper. Go to petermillar.com/M. MedMen, MedMen.com. Let them know I sent you. All right. Here's my thing, and then remind me to do the female version of this, although all we have is Gina, but we can speculate.
Sure.
We can speculate.
Sorry, that's all you got.
I would reckon, I'm trying to think, I'm trying to be consistent. If you see pictures of me when I was poor, in my height of, you know, swinging a hammer and teaching boxing, driving a pickup truck like that, and you see my old girlfriend who's standing next to me at the whatever it is, you'll see a pretty lady standing there. Now, it never lasted that long. They probably moved on to bigger and better things. But I got good-looking chicks back in the day. Spread out, though. I mean, few and far between. But I would wait. I would wait. And I didn't have a lot of flexibility. Like, I was either attracted to you because you're attractive, and I wasn't one of those things where it's like, well, I'm horny and you're five, but I'm goddamn horny and I'm down. And I knew guys that were just like, they worked off of scent. I mean, they didn't care.
They were volume. They operated by volume.
Quantity.
Yeah.
Volume or whatever. Like, I remember thinking, like, you're a better man than I am. Like, I wish that's how I was wired. I wish I was wired just to go, hey, man, you got a vagina and some titties, and I got a boner, and like, what's up? You know, like, let's do this, you know? And also, obviously, it's a lot easier if that's your Mason-Dixon line is a five versus an 8.5. It's less work, especially when you're, again, destitute and have no game and nothing going on. But I would say, now the question, I'm gonna interrupt so Dawson doesn't jump in and go, everyone likes hot chicks, boss. That's not the answer. Everyone does like hot chicks. How much? And now maybe it's hard to answer because you may think that five is a nine.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying,
your station in life also determines that number.
Well, yeah,
but that's a nine to me.
I think we could objectively. We know guys that are doing. We know guys.
Not Christy.
Look, they're guys that are doing better than they should with girls that aren't runway models.
Right.
But what I'm saying is where is everyone's personal thing? Like for me, I was like an eight and above, even when I had no money, no game, and no reason to be an eight and above. I just physically, it wouldn't work under a seven or a three or something. It just, I physically didn't want to do it. It was like a food, like we were going, come on, you like this food, right? And I was like, nah, I don't really want it. And you go, well, have something. And
everybody,
you go,
likes food.
Well, just not eat.
Yeah.
Like that's kind of how I was.
I'm trying to think back to like college years just after that. I knew the dude you're talking about who was a who operated on volume. Like he was like, well, whatever comes down the road, who are we hooking up with tonight? And that was not me, mostly because I wasn't able to, but also it wasn't appealing to me. But also I think I knew at that point, I knew my number, and I knew if a 7.5 came down along that sushi belt of life, you know, when you're at the restaurant where the sushi comes down the belt.
Never
sushi
been,
revolution. It's awesome.
You're aware of it.
Yes.
If the 7.5 came down my belt, so to speak, came down my way, I knew to pounce.
Well, that's fine.
You know what I mean?
Like,
I wasn't holding out for, she's no nine, she's no 9.5, no 10. Like, no, I knew what I was getting.
No, I got it. Like, my thing was, I was sort of funny enough. Uh-huh. I could talk enough. I was good looking enough so that I knew there was such a thing as me getting a model here and there. Mm-hmm. So it was mathematically possible, just enough so I would hold out for long periods of dry spells waiting for the next time that I could trick somebody into having sex with me. But I'm curious, like, where everyone's thing is. Like, do we have Max Pat? Do we have any of those guys? There's like, fuck it, I'm horny. Like, I don't care. I'm not talking about your super drunken, sloppy kind of hookups. I'm just talking about, I'm fucking horny. She's up to go. I'm up to go. Like, sort of a guy's like the guy who works out at the gym when he travels. Mm. You know what I mean? Like that's a Dr. Drew move, and who's horny, by the way.
By the way.
But he'll be like, oh, if we're gonna be in Virginia for 4 days, I'm just gonna find the local gym and join up for four, get a day pass and just go do it. Like I'd be like, do some push ups in your hotel room. Don't hassle them. Let's take a break. Call room service. He'd be like, no, I'm going to the gym. I'm jogging to the gym.
We all knew those guys, the horny guys. You know what I mean?
Right. Do we have any of those horny guys here?
They could have been formerly horny, of course.
But just the dudes that are like, it's not that I'll do anyone at any time, but it's like I'm horny more than I am selective.
Yeah, what's the libido revving at?
Ask Charles.
Yeah, Charles is here. All right, where are those guys? And then the next one is the aesthetic on the man. Mm-hmm. Some women, so all men are wired for the aesthetic. Mm-hmm. Everyone wants a beautiful woman. We may compromise on occasion, but everyone wants the beautiful woman. Some women want the guy with the big pecs and the abs and all that kind of stuff. And then some women aren't really that into the aesthetic of the guy. They want a guy to be good to the kids, a good earner, smart, interesting, whatever. But the aesthetic is not really big deal to them.
I gotta tell you, that's always confounded me. Because when I've met girls...
Which part?
Girls who are like when a girl dates a guy that's a little Quasimodo-esque,
mm-hmm.
but she's in love with him and he's a good provider. And, you know, I encountered this the most when I worked on Rodeo, and all the dudes would come in with their wives, you know, agents and lawyers and entertainment, whatever, would come in. These schlubby guys, just short and stout and schlubby and no interest in their appearance. And the chicks that they would land would be pretty hot. They'd boss them around. I don't think the guy ever got a word in, but I was just like, huh. It's not my thing. I don't think I could do this. I'm not attracted to any of these dudes, and there's really nothing about them.
But I don't know. Are they attracted? Or
is that back to Adam's thing where you pull up in the Mercedes, and it's like, well, that gets you 2.5 extra points.
I guess, but I mean, I've been asked to go on vacation multiple times with these dudes, and it never occurred to me.
Why would you? Wives were standing there, or they wait for them to use the dressing room?
Usually when they're pulling the car around. But I'm not wired that way to... I appreciate a good aesthetic as well, and that just doesn't do it for me.
Okay. Now, there's the in-between, which is the women who... Nobody wants Danny DeVito. Like, they just don't.
Except Rhea.
Doesn't want him either. It's just nobody wanted Rhea Perlman, so they found each other. But, I mean, that's easy. That's an extreme.
Right.
I'm just talking about just the sort of neither here nor...
The Brian Bishops of the world. I'll meet you.
Need a variable held constant.
I think I know what you're talking about because once I hit maybe my mid-20s, I started to come. I improved my game, and I think it was a combination of I would like to think that I could hold a conversation and maybe a little bit charismatic, whatever it was. I didn't get better looking, far from it, but I did lose the weight. But still, I got a much higher class of I moved into a higher class of girl. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? For dating, for hookups, for whatever.
And that matters.
And I think they were able to look past the, if I can give myself the aggressively average grade and say that they saw a good personality or an interesting conversation.
But Christy was joking about, you know, not having muscles and blah, blah, blah.
Talk about the guy in the commercial.
Uh-huh.
Right. But maybe she cares. Like, maybe she would like that. Maybe if she had a magic wand, you'd look like Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah.
Which I'm assuming...
It's hurtful.
Very awkward.
Well, what I mean is, like, Lynette, God bless her, has never said a word about, like, hey, put on a couple pounds there. Why don't you hit the gym a little more? Or even about me or just watching somebody on TV or something. She never made an aesthetic. She likes Bruce Springsteen because he plays music and he looks
he's
good.
A rock star.
But I mean, he's a rock star. Yeah. But I mean, she's never had any thoughts about like what I should look like with my shirt off or made a side mention and God knows I put a few pounds on over the course of relationship back, you know, waffled a little bit, but it's never been I guess it's time to hit the gym. Or it doesn't seem to have an interest in the aesthetic.
I can speak to that specifically for Christy, because when we started dating, we first met and we fell in love and all that stuff. I was in pretty good shape. I was in above average shape. I went to the gym every day after, the morning show let at 10:30 in the morning, and went across the street to the gym every single day. I was in good shape. And then, treatment and all that stuff. And I got sick and
sure, blame the treatment,
but I just can't get to that level anymore. I'm physically not able. And I think if she had a magic wand, she would like for me to be able to, but knowing what reality is, she's settled.
What percentage
to the aesthetic.
Now let's break this down. I said, and then it was sort of proven to me that the best looking women sort of look like men, like Giselle Bundchen has a jawline like a dude,
yes,
and then Johnny Depp looks like a chick,
yep,
you know,
sure,
like the best looking dudes kind of look like chicks. Yep. And then I'd had this thought where women that have that tough chin and that pronounced jawline and stuff like that, I thought they had a little more libido because they were a little more dude, little wired like dudes. And then there was some study that women who have that jaw, that sort of makeup, have a little more that libido, like that male-like libido. So what percentage, we'll just go 100% of men are very aesthetically oriented, and I'm going to throw out the arm candy with the rich producer guy who's pulling up the rodeo and looking at jewelry, because
we probably see more of that here in LA than there is worldwide.
And she's with him for all the wrong reasons, but she's not looking past his physicality. They live in Bel Air, and she can deal with it.
Right.
She can handle it. I believe a woman, you could enter a lesbian relationship with Dolly Parton that I would like to watch.
Can I?
Wait, no, is this on the table?
You could do that. She could go, y'all moving to Dollywood. And you could live in her castle in Dollywood. And I think
you have to stand opposite sides of the room to hug each other.
That's good.
You are flexible enough because you're a woman.
Right.
That you could actually go, I think I could fall in love with Dolly Parton.
I'm like a Kinsey 3.
And I think I could have.
Well done.
Thank you.
I think we could have some relationship, like some physicality here or something like that. It wouldn't be a thing with me where it's like, I'm blowing John Hyatt. I was on his bus.
Yeah,
he asked me to move to Nashville. Yeah, I suck him off. Yeah. Like, that's probably 3.5 times. I mean, I'm just saying a half. I never do a half.
Yeah, it's a ratio.
I'm saying an average. You know, they say like 2.3. There's not a point. You understand. The point is this.
Really,
I probably
intimacy.
Suck him off about 3.5 times a month. You know?
Sure.
But I love his music.
But are you gay?
No.
Oh.
No.
What make you think that?
I love his music. And it's great. Nashville's great. It's a great life.
Sure.
So
you fell in love with
guys
the song.
Don't have that flexibility.
No.
Right? Like Brian. Let's try to figure out a guy. Who's your guy?
Carson Palmer.
Carson Palmer.
There we go. Well,
right. It'd be the greatest thing in the world if Carson Palmer said, "Like, come live with me in my mansion in Phoenix," but you could never get physical. Like, you could never just kind
of
go.
I'd enjoy the spoils of the relationship.
Right, but you could never go like, I'll just kind of take it on the chin, pardon the pun, like a couple times a week or whatever. You just couldn't physically do it. I think women have that flexibility. Thus, the rich kept chick on Rodeo Drive is able to be with schlubby producer and kind of just sort of bite the pillow and get through it once a week.
Much like Brian would be.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, and I absolutely agree. But do you think that's inherent or do you think that's societal? Because there's other cultures where it might not be as big of a deal for a dude to, let off a little steam than it is for us.
As much as we talk about societal, I think there's gay guys that are gay and there's straight guys that are straight, and what society thinks either way doesn't really steer my sexuality. I think women are just literally more flexible than men.
And not because
men.
They're allowed to be, because they are.
Well,
because we all, you seeing two chicks having sex, I think is awesome.
Yeah, you're allowed to be. You're allowed to be because you are, and you are because you're allowed to be. It's just a stupid, it's another dumb thing. Like, why do girls play with dolls and little boys play with trucks? That's what they do. Like, that's what they want to do. Like, you guys can do it. we can't do it.
We'll do.
So maybe you can do it with the dude on the ugly side, too, whereas we couldn't do that. But what percentage of women are really aesthetically wired? Now, I'm not talking about girls' night out at a strip club and Thunder from Down Under. I just mean, like, think the way we think about a dude. Like, even if a dude was funny and nice, he's physically, he's like a six. And,
or even have like a type, you know what I mean? Like, a guy who's a good dude and blah, 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 all the things you like, but he's not your type comes down, you pass him up for the, you know, hoping your type comes along.
Yeah.
Yeah, now
people, thing to do, you know
people
I mean?
Have an aesthetic that they like, but they also, good looking is good looking. But what percentage are really wired for the aesthetic? And I'm not meaning in a superficial way, just right. I don't look at my wiring for the aesthetic as superficial, it's just kind of a wiring.
Right. That's an interesting question.
I'm going to let you think about
it. Okay, I have some thoughts.
I also put a challenge out there, too. I wanted to know how many people... I said every guy I know knows somebody or has a dad or has a friend who has a dad who fell off a ladder and had a horrific injury. Yep. I don't know any woman who fell off a ladder and had a horrific injury. And then somebody called me a douche online for making that observation. Sure. But I'd say it's pretty clear.
Where's the evidence?
I seem to know a lot of people whose dads fell off a ladder. Now, my dad has never been on a ladder, but he's never been off the sofa. But he may use that little ladder to get onto the sofa like they do for dogs on beds.
Right.
I have to give him that from the Sky Mall. But I don't know. You guys tell me. Who knows a woman who's fallen off a ladder versus a dude that's fallen off a ladder? And then I have an idea that I think is quietly diabolical that I'm going to share with you. No, I'll set it up by little things like don't put the picture of how many cats you have for the fire department to save in the front window of your house.
Yeah, the little sticker.
Put a like live free or die or don't trample on me or an NRA sticker or something like that. And they'll just rob the next house.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Makes sense.
Right. All right. I have another idea, but in a positive version that I like. I'm going to share this with you. And we're going to need Matt in here because we need to have a sign made up. Okay? All right. First, I'll tell you about the Castrol. You can tweet us at Castrol. At Corolla Show with your Castrol Challenge, with your questions for the Castrol Challenge. Brought to you by Castrol Edge. Formulated of fluid titanium technology. Reduces friction and maximizes engine performance. Three times stronger.
Three times, fool.
Against viscosity breakdown, leading full synthetic oil. What do you got, Max Spana?
All right. Ross Fit on Instagram wants to know, hashtag Castrol Challenge. Used tires, good budget option, or should I just go new?
I got to say, I was looking at used tires online the other day.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And racing tires, but still used. Tires now...
Goldberg trying to load some tires.
He takes out hay bales. I was looking at some tires, and tires have wear... racing tires have these sort of holes in them, lets you know how worn they are. But they also have dates on them. You have to kind of learn how to read the date. But there's a lot of good stuff out there, and I see no reason why you shouldn't go used. Just make sure you read the date, figure out how many miles are on them. You can see the tread. You can basically look at it and see if the tread is worn or not. So I like the idea, and I give it a big fat thumbs up, and I also give Castrol a thumbs up with Castrol Edge. Liquid titanium technology. All right, Matt, pour some Punisher, Fondelier. I got something I need you to make up for Olga's car. Okay? You guys can help me do this. I want one of those magnetic signs that you stick on the door of the car that people do, you know, for their gardening business or whatever, pool cleaning or whatever it is. I think they're a couple different sizes, but I seem to be about 18, like 22 by 16 or 18 or something in that variety. We got to come up with a phone number that doesn't work. So we'll work that one out. But you ready? Mm. Professional piano tuning, specializing in Steinway. What's another good one? And Yamaha.
Okay.
Okay. Grand. And then we put the phone number. Because her RAV4 is parked in front of my house all day, every day. And I was walking my dog earlier today, and I passed a nice big house, and there was a car in front of it, and it said, tuner, piano tuner, professional piano tuner. And I went, what's that guy doing in there?
Someone of means lives
Somebody's
in there.
Doing pretty good in there. That guy's good.
Yep.
He's got a piano, and he needs it tuned.
Professionally. Yeah.
He needs it tuned, and that guy's accomplished.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure he's a lawyer or something. He's off, you know, fighting an oil company right now somewhere.
This is for cocktail parties.
But this is for cocktail parties. Whatever it is, this dude's arrived.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's good.
I thought, what really could say you got it going on? Like, oh, it's got overtones of, well, of course we have money, but also we got skill. And I just passed. I mean, I guess we could do chandelier repair. But that's a little ostentatious.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's gaudy.
Also, Yamaha chandelier is going to be confusing.
Mm. Oh, no, Matt. Right. Well, we would.
I'll adjust the note.
Okay. But my point is
maybe something for indoor fountains.
I like the piano.
Doubloon
I like the
polishing.
I like the piano
butter
tuning
sculptures.
Because I got a lot of people walking their dogs past my house. You know, they're like, oh, there's a douchebag girl in there like blabbering into a microphone all day or making fun of his kids and his pod card or whatever. Piano tuner.
Will the jig not be up 6 months down the road when the car's been plucked out every day? Like, how bad can that piano be untuned?
I think it's quite just the opposite.
Oh.
That guy must
How many pianos does he have?
Every time he
must
plays
have a
Moonlight
ton of piano.
Sonata.
He must really pound on those keys like Jerry Lee.
Yeah. Puts the foot up there.
Probably plays with his feet. Whatever it is, that guy's sophisticated. That guy's evolved.
Yeah.
And I like what it says about me and the inhabitants of my house. Maybe I got lessons for the kids. Maybe I'm a dad, a hands-on dad who wants it important to me. Maybe I play.
Yeah, only because you love it so much.
I love it. I love it.
It's good.
So I want to make up that sign, Matt. And then I want to just put it on Olga's car. And I'll just be like, look, if you want to take it off when you go home, you can.
Just magnet.
I don't know why this hurts your stock.
Yeah.
Shitload better than nanny. You know what I mean? In terms of
you
what
make
society
that sign,
thinks.
Make that
you,
sign for her?
I don't need a nanny sign.
Matt, cross that out.
That actually hurts our cause.
Yeah, that's true.
You see what I'm saying? So, do we want piano tuning? Tuning and repair, or do you just want tuning?
Tuning.
I like tuning.
Not
I like
repair.
Tuning.
Yeah. Makes it sound like you got a junker.
Yeah. Is there something better than Steinway and Yamaha? I don't know a lot about it.
Probably not better than Steinway.
I don't want them to think upright. I don't want them to think like Western Saloon.
No, like a baby
you know what
grand.
I mean? Mm-hmm.
Western honky tonk.
Yeah.
That's a great Simpsons joke. Hey, play some piano. No, play some piano. And then Homer starts playing like, you know, Mozart. He's like, I said it's piano. I said piano. And he starts playing the honky tonk.
I love that show. What should we do for a phone number?
The phone number of the show.
Oh, okay.
Obviously. Yeah, Colin.
Let's just do this phone number, and then we'll see whoever calls, and we'll see how impressed they are.
Yes, I need my piano tune.
And we keep going. I'll just send Olga over there with some tools. We'll see what happens.
How far did this ruse go?
That's brilliant.
All right. Now, what is Olga going to say? Is she going to object to this? You know, I bought her last car, for Christ's sake. You think I'd get a little signage on the door, right?
The gig's a gig.
It's a peel off. Who cares?
Yeah.
Okay. And again, why? So what if people think she repairs and tunes
she has
pianos?
This other skill. That's great.
Uh huh. It's not going to get her abducted or in trouble or something like that. It's not like ISIS is like, we had a piano out of tune.
Although, if somebody gets choked out in the neighborhood with piano wire, she's going to be suspect one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What are you worried about, Max Banner?
Just the distance from the car to your front door. She's going to get stopped by one of your neighbors and go, oh, after you're done, can you come over to my place?
Oh, yeah.
Well, we'll deal with that on a case-by-case basis. You know what I mean? She'll have some stuff worked up. Like, hey, I got my hands full with the Corollas over here.
My piano tuning calendar is quite full.
I was thinking about gilding the lily a little bit and adding harp tuning as well. But I don't know if that's pushing.
That's
too far.
Yeah, you don't want to double dip into that. Just get a certified piano tuner.
Yep. Someone's going to raise their eyebrows.
Uh-huh. Should we put a license in bonded?
Oh, yeah, sure. Of course.
If she's official.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, she is.
And notary.
Yeah. Should I tell her or should I just put it on her car?
I think you should just put it on her car. I mean.
Okay.
She might not even see it.
Yeah.
Now, she mostly faces one direction in front of my house. Should we just get the one? Or should I just get two? Let's get two.
Yeah, make it look
perfect. Let's play it safe.
Why not be safe?
Okay. But I got to tell you, I was walking. I pass lots of nice houses. I see lots of nice cars and gardeners and everything like that. I saw a piano tuner. I stopped in my tracks. I was like, what's going on in there? I thought I knew that guy.
Yeah.
Guy's doing well for himself.
Much deeper.
And then, but it was a whole new respect I had for him. And I want that to wash over people when they walk past my house.
And if this goes really well while she's out of town, you can van wrap it.
Mm. Oh. Yeah, I'll get the wrap. Yeah. Yeah.
And if it's there all day, every day. Yeah. I'm thinking, is that going to work against you?
We discussed this, Dawson. No, it's just more good.
No, I see.
Hold on a second. Dawson.
Yeah.
You know how a 6-inch meatball sub is good?
Mm-hmm.
But you know what's better? Foot long.
True.
Same thing.
That's rock exactly solid
same,
logic.
Exactly same thing.
No, you know, four burritos is good. Perfect.
Well, you know, we should move it around. Maybe I'll put it on my car on occasion, and then when I just like park at the gym, I'll get some extra cred. You know what I mean? Mm. Like just for driving around.
Mm, you aren't going to recognize it.
No, yeah, okay. I don't feel like that's going to work.
People think
as well.
Times. This would be like a Bill's Wire dog walking situation. People think times are tough.
Yeah. All right, maybe I'll just get a few and I'll stick it on some of your guys' cars so people think there's something going on at the shop. You know what I mean?
What's up? Every car that leaves that place is a piano tuning vehicle.
Tell Matt to look into it. Obviously, there's going to be some lead time, so I'm going to have to fashion something out of duct tape and tell. Or maybe I'll just wait.
Why wait?
Yeah. Well, I feel like cardboard. We've gone this long. I could go an extra 3 weeks.
Time is now.
Although I do like what you just implied with the ACS orchestra. We could all get together and make something happen.
That's right.
So we'll put this number on there. We'll see if it ever rings. You guys think it rings?
It'll ring at least once.
100%.
What I would also like her to do is this guy 100%. Who was tuning the piano, he was only three houses away. She could park next to him, you know, and be like, hey, there's a new sheriff
in
town.
Undercover.
You know what I mean? Because he's the only one who serviced the La Cañada area until now.
Oh, he's going to get pissed.
Oh, I'm envisioning a scenario where he's like, hey, lady, I see your vehicle parked near mine. There's only one piano tuner in town.
Well, you know, they're a surly breed, those piano tuners. They'll throw down. They're the badgers of traveling tuners. They will throw down at almost any time with anyone.
She comes out to see a black key sticking out of her tire. He sends it a message.
Oh, yeah. It's a feather in your cap when you get keyed.
Yep.
When your car gets keyed by Kiva with a piano tuner. All right, let me tell you about MedMen. I just think this is subtly a quiet move on my part that's going to get me a whole new standing.
Whole new crop of friends.
We get the thing every once in a while where it's like the cardboard sign that says you're platinum member of the school club. But that just means you got extra money and your wife's dopey and nobody cares. You know what I mean? Yeah. That doesn't mean artist.
The Larry David version of this involves the neighbor going, I didn't know you. We should come over and play together. And you have to get a piano and start taking lessons.
A player piano. Why are you sweating so much?
Yes,
working those pedals.
All right. Let me tell you about MedMen. Today's cannabis consumers are everywhere and everyone, teachers, executives. Let's drop the labels. At MedMen, you're a customer. There's something for everyone, whether you're new to the cannabis or industry or world, or you're familiar with it. They got lotions and edibles and vape pens and bath bombs and more. Touch screens allow you to view an in-depth product info and red-shirted staff that's incredibly knowledgeable and puts you at ease. And you can check out one of their 8 locations. They're out here in Los Angeles, Orange County, San Diego, or you can go online. You go to MedMen.com. Find the store nearest you. It's like a Mac store for the cannabis. You check it out at MedMen.com. That's MedMen.com. Dawson.
Visit MedMen and mention the Adam Carolla Show for $10 off your order. Check out MedMen today.
All right. Roseanne Arquette is coming in here. God, your family's got a lot of range.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of range. Wait a minute.
Was just watching The Wedding Singer last night with Alexis Arquette.
Is Alexis Arquette still with us?
I believe not.
Okay. And then David Arquette has now become a professional Mexican wrestler. Have you guys seen any of this footage? The guy's literally becoming a professional wrestler. Also,
I love that guy called Gecko.
I can show you like him. My. Like he's literally becoming a professional wrestler. He's doing crazy like stunts. I mean, he's not. It's not a, you know, it's not Dennis Rodman in a goof. It's like he's doing. He's getting twirled around and like jumping off the you know turnbuckle and doing this crazy move where he's like spinning and twisting and really acrobatic. Now,
is that him in the white?
He's in the white.
Wow! I didn't realize
the guy just picked him and slammed him. He does this.
Oh, nice!
He does this. If Max Patty want to fast forward or something, he does this thing where he flies at the guy grabs his legs and spins him around. It's like it's really athletic and acrobatic. Stuff, it's kind of fun.
Yeah, this was this month. Like this is
the other one is either newer or a little bit older, but it's a very acrobatic. He runs at the guy and throws his feet at the guy's neck and goes twirling
flying
around.
Scissor
him.
Kick.
Yes. Also, I don't know if I should bring this up, but in one of my more uncomfortable,
I've been waiting for this.
My more uncomfortable. Showbiz moments. I'd looked at 145 women to play my wife in a sitcom. You'd have all these weird, stupid stuff. Most would be like, she's just going to come in, she's going to read. She's going to come in, she's going to read. Then other ones were like, the weirdest one was like, what's her name? God damn it. She played the wife in Con Air. She's the blonde.
Oh, yeah.
Cameron Poe's wife. She came in for like a chemistry test, but we had to answer her questions, which is so great because she's a hot blonde. Like, it's great. Even a hot blonde who's looking for a job, it's still like three slubby Jewish dudes, and we don't become the hunter. We're the prey. Like, she comes in our office and we're all like, Wednesday's pizza day. I think you would enjoy that. Like, now, she was vying for the job.
Monica Potter.
Right, Monica Potter. Was vying for the job of my wife in my sitcom.
Making you earn it.
She walked in and sat down and interviewed us. Which is great. It just goes to show, like, whenever you talk about, like, celebrity, the best is hot blonde. Mm-hmm. That's the ultimate celebrity. We had the producers, the creator, the head writer, everyone. And we all just answered her questions dutifully while she interviewed us and decided whether she wanted to play my wife or not. There'd other be ones where it's like, she'll go to lunch, but she won't audition, but she'll whatever. Roseanne Arquette came in, read a couple lines, and just went, what happened to my career? Like, and then she just like looked at me and she went, Adam, do I really have to do this? And I was like, no, I've seen you in a million movies.
I saw you in Pulp Fiction.
Yes, I saw you with Madonna. Like, I've seen you in every movie. I love you. Like, no, you don't have to do, not for me, you don't have to do this. I could just look at I can close my eyes and see a reel of you acting all through my life. And no, and she's like, oh, why would I have to do this? Like, this is so sad. Like, it's so pathetic. And I got it. She's a movie star. I'm a jack-off from North Hollywood, and she's got to come in and read for me. And I was right with her. Like, I do not believe it's an insane thing. We had, what's her name? I can't remember her name, but she did A Serious Man. She's Coen Brothers. And it was like, well, can she audition? Yeah, she's going to be in town because it's the Oscars and she's nominated. So I guess we could audition her then. And I'm like, why do we need to audition her? She's in a Coen Brothers film. Like, she's good. She's better than I am. That's for damn sure. What do we need? What do we have to do this for? I'm like, well, they got to look. You realize the people.
Sari Lennick?
No. The people. You'll know her in a second. Yeah. The people with the.
Amy Landecker.
Yeah, yeah. The people with the least to do are the ones that need the most meetings and the most looks and the most whatever. The busiest people. On
time.
That lot are mean the guys that are creating the show. The ones with the least amount that can do anything they want are the executives. They have nothing but time, and they sit in their office, so they go, oh, no, we're definitely scheduling. And I'm like, it's more time. Yeah, Amy Landecker, by the way.
She's Transparent.
is I think she's got the female libido, because I was talking to her like on the set because she was playing my wife or
Roseanne,
something.
Roseanne Arquette didn't get the part.
This is gonna be the chemistry test wasn't great.
This is gonna be awkward.
She's like, "You're a carpenter?" I told her I was a carpenter. She's like, "You're a carpenter?" And I was like, "Yeah, I can fix anything." She went like, "Oh, wow." I said, "Oh yeah, I build houses. I'll fix anything. I'll hang a door." And she goes, "Damn." And then she goes like, she said something like, "You married?" And I said, "Yeah." And she was like, "Shit." always. Like you tell, like, I was just talking about hanging doors and building houses. And she's like going, "Yeah,
I gotta get
we're going to get some." Like, it was a good, and she just verbalized it, which was a funny thing. But I didn't give a shit, but I wasn't offended or anything. I was flattered. But the point is it was a dude like I think she's got the dude chin on her or something. But either way, she's got a little libido motor happening. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I like
her.
For guys who could build.
Yeah.
Right. She's got a type.
Yeah. Remember I was saying Lynette had no type? The building doesn't, neither here nor there. All right. So we'll see Rosanna when she comes in. I think we're going to have a little staff fashion show.
I'm psyched.
Please
I'm
tell
dressed
me
to the nines
you
today.
You are.
Looking good.
Thank you.
I hope there's fashion show music.
Oh.
Is there?
Interesting.
I got Dawson and I look at each other.
Dawson has
you
no idea
what's...
You
have some fashion week techno.
What's going on?
I got nothing.
I can find something.
All right. Let's... who are we bringing in first, Max Zapata?
Oh, we'll bring a few of the guys. We're going to line us up, so okay. You can just call on us as you will.
It's brought to you by Peter Millar, by the way. I'm wearing all their stuff as
so
we speak.
Too.
They sent us
the shoes, the pants, the hoodie.
Oh,
see his new shoes over here.
Love it. We're all feeling pretty good today.
I like it. All right, so everyone has kind of a. I didn't know that everyone did the same thing all day every day, but Kaylin's got a pajama.
Fellas, come
oh yeah,
over here.
A little good.
Yeah, get out in front of us.
We gotta
see what's going on.
See a little picture here.
This is there's a lot to take in.
I don't see Gary, which is a good thing.
Kaylin has
Matt's proud. A lot of twirling happening.
All right, so let's figure this out. Dylan, you wear jeans rolled up, probably right with the Corolla Cruise T-shirt every single day.
Here, grab the microphone. You can pick up that.
My wardrobe is a lot more varied in the winter months.
Mm-hmm.
In summer, your merchandise kind of clothes me.
That is the kind of aesthetic around here is Corolla
free
and
stuff.
Podcast related. Yeah, sponsor
merch. I thank you for that.
How are we in the earlier question in terms of the libido? Any port in the storm or discerning fishermen?
I'm fairly horny.
Okay.
At most hours of the day.
I look at that as a good thing. And again, I look at it as the one that says, I don't know. I bet Mark Garagos is that way. You know, the person that goes, "Hey, that person just cut in front of you in the line. Just tap him on the shoulder and tell him to get behind you." And you go, let him go.
I'll do it.
And they go, "No, no, just tap him on the shoulder."
Stand.
And you go, "All right." I'm jealous of the person who taps on
me
the shoulder.
Too.
I'm jealous of the guy who's just horny.
Me too.
I like that.
Me and Mark have a lot in common.
Yeah.
Dylan's sock game is traditionally very strong. I don't
Thanks,
know how it's
Brian.
Looking today, but
just white today.
Traditionally,
just white today.
See,
on fashion show day, you want white socks.
I kind of like the look of a white sock. Mm.
I think Dylan really thinks he can get away with a lot more than he can because he has a nice haircut.
Yeah.
So everything from the forehead down, it's like he's still in bed.
Dylan, are you a Vans shoe guy?
Yep. I am a Vans shoe guy.
All right. I don't mind the navy blue ones. All right. What's worse? Slip-on checker pattern or I got a red one and a blue one?
Oh.
Checker pattern's worse.
Oh, I think mismatch is worse.
See?
Really?
That's why you got to play the game.
Oh, man.
All right.
Mismatch is worse.
Dylan noted. Then we got Kaylin over there. Oh. Kaylin's got... If you look at the outfit that Steve McQueen wore in Pepillon when he was in the prison. He has an old-timey...
Penal colony?
He has a French Guyana, kind of French turn-of-the-century kind of penal colony
government
look.
Government issue.
Yeah.
Yeah, they wore, like, sort of pajamas you could walk around in.
Sure.
You know? So he's got that. Very casual, very
ironic
light.
Ironic that you say that about Kalen, because Kalen has upped his game by no longer wearing his pajama pants to work.
Yeah,
so this is the new and improved Kalen.
I used to do that very often. I'd come in sweatpants or basketball shorts or something, which I no longer do.
Kalen now wears things that are sold in the pants department.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Not in
still
the
living at home?
I am, yes.
Oh, you lucky bastard.
What's the plan? How's that going with Dad? Is he charging your rent?
He is not, no.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
No rent. Well, does no rent mean you're supposed to handle some stuff?
Yeah, I handle various errands that my mom often will... my stepmom will want me to go to the grocery store and go shopping, or I'll help clean around the house, or just do general yard work for her.
You have chores?
It's not... Whenever she or he asked me to do something, which
I heard chores.
Is about once a day I do them, okay. But...
Yeah.
All right, let me say this to a guy who's dealt with a lot of freeloaders and still does.
To this minute, actually.
There's nothing better to the guy who's paying the nut on the mortgage to, like, pull up the driveway and walk in and have you mid something. Mm-hmm. Not prompted, you know. Even people look at it as like, hey, you tell me to sweep, I'll sweep. But just... self-started in the sweeping or the mopping.
Changing
or
the light bulb.
Doing the porch light or doing the garbage or whatever. Just that mid... Just let them walk in and see you in the midst of some home-related chore. That goes so far with the guy who's paying for everything. So I would say not only do the stuff they tell you to do, but every once in a while, time them.
Hit him with the dishwasher.
Yeah, let him return to see you coming back unloading that dishwasher have you. It'll go... You only need about seven of those a year. Like, you don't need much.
Yeah.
A little will go a long way in the, is that guy a total sack of shit freeloader? Or is he a good kid who's kind of trying to pull his own, whatever?
Show you he appreciates it.
So those are your thoughts on Kalen's fashion?
No. Sorry. That was a little home advice.
Noted.
Wearing the rust-colored shirt,
what's
T-shirt.
With the socks? Is that a thing?
It's not purposely a thing. I don't spend a lot of time thinking about my socks. So sometimes when I pull one out,
they're not matching.
There's one black or one white or one gray or one black. I'll just put them on anyway.
We've been handed a sheet with notes on everybody. The notes on Kalen sound like a criminal psychiatrist. like
it's very once over the cuckoo's nest.
Notes on a deeply troubled soul.
Yeah. Usually wears mismatched socks, would like to wear the same shirt 3 days in a row, but fears people will notice, and thinks he improved his style by no longer wearing pajamas to work.
It sounds like something a criminal psychiatrist would file to, like, the
nurse
board.
Nurse Ratchet wrote this for
He's
you.
He's doing good.
By the way, there will be an award for best dressed and worst dressed, so we're going to have to do a little thinking.
All right, Max Pata, you step up to the mic next, please.
Hey, guys.
Now, you wear...
Tilt that mic down.
I did not...
I
was unaware of this until I sort of thought about it, which is you wear a black shirt every single day.
Yeah.
And I didn't really think about that. Now that I think about it, I now picture you wearing a black shirt every single day. And you have your jeans hemmed?
Yeah. So I wear a black shirt and jeans every day. It's like I consider it like a uniform. I own 12 black shirts and 2 pairs of jeans, and I mix and match.
What is the jean size?
The waist is 30, between 30 and 32, depending on, I guess, what brand. And then the length is probably 29.
All right.
Oh, I heard 28.
Mm-hmm. And you get them.
I was overcompensating. It's 28, all right, Brian? Are you happy?
As a guy who as a guy who's basically a 32, 34 my younger years, and then the kind of a 34, 34 my whole life, and then at some point had to inch to a 35, 36 with the 30. Mm-hmm. I hate it when that first number gets higher than the second number.
It's really hard to accept.
It's hard to accept.
It's like a chode.
I think in one of those, like basic yardsticks to measure somebody by, it'd be nice. We'd be living in a utopia free of diabetes and lard asses if everyone kept that first number right by that second number, right? I mean, just think about the medical system. Think about how much money we would save nationally if everyone had that first number be at that second number.
Yeah.
There should be a national campaign. Screw click it or ticket or whatever. Let's try it. They talk about child diabetes and child obesity and blah, 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 blah. But how about just a campaign, like a national campaign? Look, you're a... 29, fine. Your goal is to see if you can go 29, 29. But a national campaign to, and I'm a 34, my goal is 34, 34 or or less. But a big national campaign, like where, here's where everyone starts.
Wow.
So everyone goes, America, like one of those smoke outs or smoke, whatever it is, right? You go, okay, what's the, what do you guys think the average is in America? Oh, someone's got to get on a computer. Boy. But what do you, now, it ain't 34, it's 32 or 31 or 30 or I'm going with
waist?
Dudes. Oh no, 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 no.
Oh,
no, not, no, I'm height. Okay, I'm height. Wait, no, waist, yeah. No, 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 no. Yeah, I'm not going that way. Height is 32, 31.
32.
Yeah. I think average height for a man is 5'10, 5'10 and a half. So I'm going to say
like 30, a 31, 30, 30, 30, 31.
30, 31. Yeah.
All right. Do we think the average is average? 37, 31?
I was going to say 38.
I was
going
to say 38.
38,
yeah.
30, something like that. Would it be a utopia, and wouldn't we say billions of dollars in healthcare, and wouldn't everything be better if we did some sort of national? So, like, here's where we are as a country. Right. We're at 38, 30. At the end of the year, we want to be at 35, 30, or 34, 30, or what's your personal, like an ice bucket challenge.
Right.
You know, everyone report in. Where are we in 6 months? You're 41, 32 now. You'll be 36, 32 this time next year.
Hashtag get the over under. Takes a little thinking.
I'm saying, how come no talk that way? Everyone's got the pants. They got to buy the pants. First thing you look at.
You know why there's no talk that way. It's very shaming.
Is it? But you know what's weird?
It's also only guy sizes.
Smoking is bad for you, and there's a nonstop shaming campaign around smoking.
Right. Well, they're killing all of us.
We go, well, it's bad for you, so why not shame everybody that's bad for you?
Yeah.
Well, this is bad for you.
It's true.
Okay.
Yep.
Max Pata? You got, so what did you say? You're 30, 29?
Yeah, let's say 31. We'll say 31 waist and I'm 28 height.
Perfect.
Length.
And you have to get them
take
hemmed?
Those pants off right now.
Can you buy pants over. Can you buy pants and not be hemmed?
No.
No, who hems them?
I go to the, there's a laundry, not laundromat, a dry cleaner.
Cleaner.
Yeah,
Jesus Christ.
Nice little Asian lady.
You got an Asian mom and you're not even...
I don't want to bother her with this.
Can she sew? Can she sew?
Yeah, she could sew.
All right. But you don't want to bother her?
No.
I like that.
It's easy enough for me just to take it into a place.
I got to tell you, there's nothing wrong with going into that. There's something, a little something about going into the place and telling them to do this and mend that and fix that.
Did you ever think about adopting Dylan's rolled cuff look?
I did.
It saved you $7 a pair.
I tried. My girlfriend says it makes me look shorter.
It's true. She's right. She's right. It cuts you off at the ankle.
Yeah.
You also, at least twice a day, you have to drain them of all the douche that rolls off of you and it gathers up and starts weighing you down and then you have to drain it out and then it fills
douche
up with
gutters.
Douche whole, again because you just exude douche and it just drips off you like
douche
sebum.
Gutters.
Douche gutters.
That's your cuffs.
Yeah, this guy came in with funky frames. Yeah. And douche gutter jeans.
Doc Martens and douche gutters.
All
now,
right.
Where are we with Chris's facial hair? Because he runs the gamut. He does a clean shave. He does a full beard. He did a mustache once that made me just, I felt like dry cement looking at him. No offense.
I did the mustache. I tried it out. Adam liked it. Adam complimented me almost every day on my mustache. And then when I shaved it, he was very upset. When I came in, the first day I did have the mustache, so I came into work, and Gina looks at me, she points to her crotch hair, and she goes, it is drier than the Sahara right now.
We don't really like mustaches.
Yeah, they hurt.
I'm trying to think. There's only a few dudes. Aha! Aha. I've said many times, very hard press to find a woman who looks better with short hair. You go, well, look at Charlize Theron. She looks incredible when her hair's down past her shoulders. She's bad. I'll give you a little Natalie Portman on this one. She is pretty spectacular, long and short.
Yeah, she's such a little pixie.
Right. There's a couple of dudes that look better with a mustache. Now you go, well, look at Brad Pitt. He grows right. Yeah, but he's still better looking without it. You know what I mean?
Completely.
Maybe Tom Selleck. Like, who actually improves Same thing with the women in the short hair. Yeah, it's like, yeah. Of course, Natalie Portman or Charlize Theron, they're always perennial all-stars, but they tend to look a little better with the hairline.
The problem with Selleck is that you've never seen him without. So
To shit on your point, remember he was Courtney Cox's boyfriend on Friends for several seasons, and he did not have a mustache, and he was dashing. So even Tom Selleck looks better without Tom Selleck's mustache.
I don't think any guy looks better with a plain mustache. No. Mustache, beard, which you guys can tell me. Not guys that are known for the mustache. This is where you actually look better. You've seen some before and some after.
Besides Ron Jeremy.
Unless it's that weird, like, specific, like, handlebar, like, biker type dude who, like, it enhances the toughness. Like, I'm thinking, like, fat, overweight, like rocker, biker dude who would look doughy and weird and melty without it.
All right.
But now he has, like, the Fu Manchu.
We're not talking about, like, oh, he's so handsome with it. And he's not, it's like, it's an improvement.
Yeah.
But that's a slice of humanity.
All right, so Max Spada,
you're not
no more solo mustache. Although I'm impressed by it. All right, last but not least,
we got Dawson.
I'm just gonna let Dawson sit there.
Dawson looks nice.
Let him sit there. Fine. Someone's got to run the music board.
Fondelier.
No one's gonna be able to top Chris's segment anyway.
Fondelier's. Roseanne's here. Good.
You know what I respect about Matt, and I didn't really realize this. Matt took it upon himself to implement his own casual Friday.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
He's wearing button-down shirts.
Yes.
I'm not saying. I got to see what you're wearing. The flip-flops.
Yep.
Abso-fucking-lutely.
I gotta say, I feel a little vulnerable in flip-flops. I don't know why. I used to wear the flip-flops. You guys, tell me if this rings true at all. When I would do the man show, I wore flip-flops a lot. The flip-flops I had were these, like, rubber Nike flip-flops that had the same smell off of them that, like, a neoprene wrist cast brace thing would smell, like weird rubbery wetsuity. And when you pull it off, it's like weird, stinky, mildewy, like funky. And Jimmy was getting pissed, like, your feet stink. And I'd be like, it's not really my feet. It's just these weird rubber things. I made them out of a weird thing, but they were fine and they were new and they worked. But my feet smelled like weird wetsuit rubber. And eventually Jimmy threw them out or he burned them. I can't remember. That was the end of me and flip flops.
I used to have the same problem, and I found also, like, my feet don't normally smell, but if you just wear the same pair of flip-flops over and over again, they do have that awful smell. So my solution, thanks for the music, my solution was multiple pairs of flip-flops.
Let them
air out.
Absolutely.
Between. And my lovely wife got me a pair of leather flip-flops, and the leather ones do not smell.
Those are fancy. And just in terms of how far...
It seems like you're into Jimmy Buffett.
Yeah.
If you wear leather flip-flops, like, that guy's really into Buffett.
The
He's
rainbows.
A parrot head.
Are they rainbows?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Now, just as a mile marker, how far Fondelier has come, I don't know if it was our first cruise or our second cruise, but specifically on Elegant Night, Brian wore a beautiful suit. I wore a cocktail dress. Everybody got all dolled up. Matt Fondelier put on his best Jurassic World t-shirt.
That's right.
Now look at him. Buttoned down, looks great, looks put together.
For that, I'm going to give him first place.
Best. Unbelievable.
Wow. Yes.
Thank you, sir.
Most improved. At least.
Most improved.
And by the way, we are working on the magnetic sign for Olga's door. We're talking to our fabrication team. We'll give you updates.
I'm in love with this piano
That's
idea.
That's a good idea.
Everyone's going to think I'm a winner. Also, I'm going to give Kalen last place for the PJs and the Pepillon.
Well, that is 2 days in a row now. I've been voted the worst dressed at work. So
two days in a row?
Yeah, that's 2 days in a row. So all I need to step it up a bit.
Look at you.
I've never looked better in my Peter Millar, by the way. All about quality, value, and style. Most comfortable clothes I've ever worn. Five pocket pants. These pants are... God, they fit nice.
You look sharp.
Put up the picture.
Yeah.
I'll put up a picture. Lightweight, breathable, Pima cotton. Fit, the jeans fit beautifully, machine washable, easy to take care of, performance shorts, moisture wicking and quick drying. We love it. Sports shirts look like button-down dress shirts, but are comfortable and easy as a t-shirt. Oh, okay. We've got the staff, some Peter Millar clothes, too. Just really good stuff. Brian's got some stuff. Gina's got some stuff
Chris
there.
Chris has a picture that Christy took of me last night in my new Peter Millar.
Look at you.
Wow.
Look at that. Just
XUV.
Hello.
I got the coat from Peter Millar. Sharp coat.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. You look good. Head over to petermillar.com/M. You can check out some of my favorites. And be sure to use my link for complimentary shipping and a free hat. That's Peter Millar, MILLAR.com/Adam. Great stuff. We'll throw up a picture of me and the stuff. I mean, it feels good and it looks good, damn it. I love it. All right. Roseanne Arquette is out there. Excited to see her. Let's see if she recalls our little meeting.
Your exchange.
Our exchange. She's got a new show out that's really funny called Sideswipe. Talk to her about that. We'll do that right after a break in Good Sport. Hey, it's Adam Carolla.
It's Mark Garagos.
We do a show called Reasonable Doubt.
Best hour in the universe.
Sometimes 54 minutes.
And sometimes we've been known to do 48 minutes as well, and sometimes an hour six.
Either way, we round up. Best hour. Like Mark Bill.
It's exactly like in 6-minute intervals. Exactly.
Every Saturday on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Subscribe to Reasonable Doubt, the best hour in the universe, with Mark Garagos and Adam Carolla. Every Saturday on Podcast One, Carolla Digital, and Apple Podcasts.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts. Ace and Shecky, let's do it.
Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi to low sports fans. Welcome to the Friday episode of Good Sports here on Podcast One Sports. Dave Damashek here. Adam Carolla over there, hurtling ever closer to the start of pro football season. Speaking of which, make sure you check out the Dave Damashek football program available on Apple Podcasts. And while you're there, why don't you check out Dave's of Thunder 2? In the meantime, Ace Carolla, we've been trying to get to this for a couple of days now. We've been talking about baseball is considering expanding into not just one market, but into six different markets. Dig these. I want you to rank these. I imagine you've been to all these towns. I got to tell
Hold
you.
Hold on. I got a fantasy list and a great place. We got Mexico.
Okay.
How about Mogadishu?
I like to say it.
Say it.
Mogadishu!
All right. Then there's Purgatory and then, of course, Hell.
Purgatory.
These are all places I'd like them to expand into, so I don't have to be bothered.
Yeah. Here, this is a juicy list. I've never been to Portland, but that's the first one.
Mm.
Dig the names here.
You never been to Portland?
Nope.
Portland is...
People love it.
Yeah. And also, I'm going to go ahead and slap myself on the wrist. I don't know if I want to turn the blaster on myself, but we should stop getting out of the habit of whether it's the Modern Art Museum or Portland, when you say to someone, I've never been to the Modern Art Museum... The other person, 4 seconds later, doesn't have to yell. You've never been to the Modern Art? It's only there to make the person feel shame and feel bad. There's no confusion.
You're not.
You said you've never been to Portland, and I yelled, you've never been to Portland, not because I misunderstood your relationship with Portland.
The condescending.
It's very condescending.
The shock and the gall expressed that you haven't eaten at a restaurant that is in town after you claim that you like Italian food as a for instance. Yeah, I like Italian food. Oh, you've been to Bestia?
You never been to Palermo's?
No, I never been there.
Never. I like when they keep going.
How can you claim to like Italian food?
It's funny because they start with the, you never been to Palermo's, the whole sentence, yeah. And then you go never, and then they yell never. They don't say. I like that it's going to take 3 or 4 rounds of explaining to you I've never been to this place.
So we go. I'll put these in some order here. Portland, Portland's Vegas. Great. Vegas is getting its it's going to have 3 teams if it gets one of these. All of a sudden, 3 pro sports teams.
Maybe it's a San Fernando Valley Heat thing, but everything in Vegas sporting sounds like a bad idea to me outside of boxing. Everything feels like, oh, it's too hot. Oh, come on. How's that going to work? Like, when you picture a football team in Vegas or just any professional franchise in Vegas, it just feels weird. But I guess so does like saying, you know, I'm going to my grandfather's in hospice care. Where is that? In Vegas. Like, it all feels weird, right?
I'm going
to go to
you.
The hardware store in Vegas. Like, every normal thing feels weird with the word Vegas in front of
I'll
it,
do
right?
You one. I'll do you one more because you grew up on the West Coast. I, coming from, you know, Pittsburgh, PA, it's weird to me when I meet or hear even about, like, oh, my grandfather, yeah, he's, you know, born and raised in Seattle. Like, he's, what do you mean? How old is he? He's 82. Seattle's been around 82 years. It seems like everything outside of L.A. and San Francisco on the West Coast didn't exist until about 1958 or so.
Yeah, I
agree. Weird to me.
It all feels weird.
Portland, Vegas, Charlotte, another city on the rise in the U.S. of A.
Mm-hmm.
Nashville, another one that is really gaining more and more traction as one of
the
great
cities. Now,
you'll allow
the Hittsville, USA for them?
Oh, yeah, listen. Oh, yes, they were there first.
Okay.
City of Champions is Pittsburgh.
Right.
Why? Because the Buccos with Pop Stargell claimed the crown at the same time that Terry Bradshaw and company claimed their fourth Lombardi title. That is what you need to do to be able to rightly claim we're the City of Champions.
We
Boston people dropping
family.
Me a line.
Is that them? Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Sister Sledge up on the dugout dancing around. Mm-hmm. Remember that? That was a great time.
Yes.
How about two? What no team does this, and you know you got to say you got to give credit, even if you don't like Pittsburgh teams. Ace, how cool is it? We've talked about the logo on just one side of the helmet for the Steelers.
Yeah,
how great is it that the Pirates, the team winning the World Series, they just decided like, yeah, the one guy on the team, I'm going to give you a star if you make a good play and you put it on your cap, and you just keep adding them to your cap.
Yes, the greatest thing about college football.
Yeah, I love
is,
the stickers.
You know, Ohio State with all and whomever with all the stickers on the thing. I've told you
theirs
this.
Theirs look like weed, though, but it's weird.
I've told you this before, but I remember very clearly in seventh grade sitting in Mrs. Wolk's class out in a bungalow. Mrs. Wolk taught English. She had a hygiene issue. You can call this whatever it is, but when a chick has a hygiene issue, it's a dude with a hygiene issue and two zeros behind it. I can't tell you why. And I don't know if that's sexist, but I'm saying to you, when a dude's got a little funk going on, that's every day of the week for me. I got no problem with that, especially if you're going to pick up and play some hoops games or something like that. It's just part of life. You play football, you box, you know, whatever it is. When a chick has the funk, That crosses into some weird nether region.
I'm
it's
really
very upsetting.
I'm running through it in my head, maybe because it's rarer. I think that's my guess.
It's weird.
Is that you just don't see it very much because off the top of my head, I can't cite one example.
Well, Mrs. Wolk.
All right. I'll track her down after the show.
Yeah. Walter Reed Junior High, 1979. Sitting in her class, and I was the worst student, really. I was horrible. I couldn't read. I couldn't write. You've all heard it before. But it was very rare that during the course of a test, I'd ever had any confidence about any of my answers. I mean, you know, I think people do a thing where they're like, oh, come on, Em, you're a smart guy. You did all right. You know, you're downplaying. But no, I'm not downplaying. I took high school math. I never took algebra. I never took the SATs. I was very, very poor. But when she handed out a test one day that had symbols on it, and you'd look at the symbols and it'd be like the NAACP or something, or the I'm trying to think of the like logos or symbols or whatever it is, and we had to match it with the what it was.
United Way was a prominent one. Alcoa,
they had the Steelers, the Steel Workers Union thing, and I just went like, oh, that's the Pittsburgh Steelers logo. And I may be wrong on everything in life, but one thing I know is professional football, and that is the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I came back with, no, you're wrong. That is the United Steelworkers sign of whatever, whatever, which, of course, Mrs. Wolk didn't know the Steelers, and I didn't know the United Steelworkers whatever. Not sure why we should have known that in North Hollywood, Valley Village area, circa 1978.
What a weird thing.
But I've never, I was like, I'm sure I got every test, every question wrong, except for this one question. And when that was wrong, I was defeated. I was like, and now you're officially at
You know what's crazy about that? If you can go all the way back to where we started on Monday, we talked about Jonah Hill conceding to Kimmel he doesn't know who some prominent NFL quarterbacks of the 21st century are, and somehow it quickly would turn against you if you're like, you don't know who Tony Romo is?
Right.
Well, now I just used what we just did at the top of this one. Like, I don't know who Tony Romo is. You don't know who Tony Romo is? although I'm allowed to be aghast at that one. Don't
you
give me
be.
Yeah, that's right.
Fine, Heath Ledger and Shelly Hack's hair.
How funny though that I bet you when you said no, Mrs. Wolk, for a point of fact, that's also the Steelers logo. I bet you she argued with you. No, it is not, and I bet you she did not relent on that.
I don't think I was
even though
ever,
you're right too.
I don't think. You can probably find a yearbook picture of Mrs. Wolk, Walter Reed Junior High. All I did was sort of look at her, and I went, "But this is the Steelers." It was just marked on my page, like circled, like X, like wrong. And I was like, "I don't think we ever had an exchange about it." I was just like, "I got the paper back." I was like, "Well, here's another wrong answer." And I remember just going, "But it's the Steelers." Like that. That's all I could.
You'd been beaten by at that point. You didn't even try to volunteer an argument.
I was a hollowed out shell of a student.
Well, there we see another example. Ledger and Hack didn't just have the same hairdo at one point. They had a couple of different hairdos that matched.
Oh, I don't have. I don't have any yearbooks. Gary's right. I don't own any of the yearbooks because they cost $9. That would be a little too rich for my parents' blood. Some people put stuff online is what I'm saying. People now take their yearbooks and
I'll give you a compliment on that, Ace. I see pictures floating around by you and other people. You're one of those people that has more or less held on to the way you looked when you were 17. You know, there are people who look wildly different. You look like more plump, like a youthfully plump in the face, you know.
But at 17.
Yeah, 17. Yeah, you're not. You know what I mean? You have that more youthful chunk to you.
Well, I think the deal is for everybody, if you can avoid packing on a bunch of weight and you can avoid getting bald.
And this feels like a personal attack.
And you can avoid death. You can hang on to some of the attributes of the past.
How much more do you weigh than you did when you were 17?
Well, the thing that's very different about me is I'm one of the few guys who was, when I was in high school, I was eating tons of eggs and lifting weights and playing football. So I was like 205, 210 when I was 17 playing varsity football in high school. And then when I got out and I stopped lifting weights and stopped eating everything and whatever, so the reality is I'm 190 now and I was 210 then. Everyone obviously goes the other direction.
How funny, yeah. Because I was 140 when I went to college and now I'm 50 pounds heavier than that.
Check, where do you stand? You can take the pictures down, Gary. Check, where do you stand on this? I was talking about feminine BO and how off-putting it is. what do you think about the deal of my policy is that a woman can spend $1,000 on a wedding dress, no more. But for every $100 she wants to go past $1,000, she has to fit into it for a year.
Ooh.
So you could go $2,000, but that'd be 10 years of having to fit in the dress. I'd say it'd be the only time people bulked up for a wedding.
Like a wrestler.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Why are you eating tubs of ice cream, man?
Wedding's coming up.
Man, this is the long play. Yeah. All right. Excellent. We didn't even get through those cities. We'll have to do it another time. I'm going to do it just to be complete. The other two, Montreal and Vancouver. Those are two Canadian cities, in case you wanted to know. All right. A fine week of hot sports talk is now complete here on Good Sports. So for Adam Carolla, Dave Damashek, we'll talk to you later on. In the meantime, it's been a thin slice of heaven here on Podcast on Sports.